Hello, hello, and hello. Welcome to Hidden Parts, the podcast. I'm Shawn Monet, and today's episode is called The Invisible Chicken. Why? Because there are many, many times in life where life just happens. Yes, we hurt. We may even cry for a minute, but ultimately, we put our grown folk drawers on and we deal with it, right? It may be overwhelming. It may be underwhelming. We may feel defeated or we may defeat it. Regardless, it turned out for the better. So today we're going to talk a little about our experiences and how to be okay during the process of dealing with it. My special guest today, his name is Don Kirk. He's affectionately known to many as Sharfy or Shock. I lovingly call him Shock. We go way back to the days of high school. I was just a little high schooler admiring him from afar. So I'm really excited to have him with us. Don Kirk, Shock, is a man of God. He is a man with integrity. And he is just a great person. But more importantly, he's my friend. Welcome, Shock.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me. Definitely intrigued by your introduction as it relates to being a man of God and a man of integrity. First and foremost, I have to be honest, I'm a sinner first.
We both are.
And I'm in training to be a better man of God and practicing with that integrity. So I'm honored to be here with you to assist in your journey.
I'm happy to have you here. So, as I mentioned before, we're just going to have a little conversation.
Okay.
The topic, again, is the invisible chicken. Okay. We can take it so many different ways, but, you know, as we did earlier. But okay. Today, I just kind of want to stick with life and okay. How life happens and how we have to pivot okay. And deal with it.
Okay.
But before we get started, I want to introduce into this conversation an important fact. It's a fact, but it's first a question.
Okay.
Do you know that the egg industry kills the male chick, the baby chick?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, over 400 million chickens a day, baby chicks, male chicks, are killed by the egg industry.
Okay.
And the reason they're killed is because they can't be used. They don't lay eggs, their meat isn't good, so the egg industry considers them as useless, so they kill them.
Wow, so what's their purpose, though?
The purpose is to use the female chicken, because the female chicken is the true laborer. They lay eggs, their meat is more tender, okay. And the profit.
Wow.
It's kind of, when I read it, it honestly gave me the idea to name this podcast The Invisible Chicken, because it's like the male chick, the baby chick don't have a voice. It's like gone. You're here. They literally go through like all of the baby chicks and they physically turn them over, look at the sex. The males go in one bucket and the females go in another. And at the end of the day, the male chicks are killed. They call it chick culling. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was intriguing. So that was our icebreaker.
Okay.
So I invite you all to look that up. And I don't know if there's anything that we can do about it at this point, because they've been doing it for years. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting. Not that I would know what a male chick would taste like versus a female chick. I just know I like chicken fried, barbecue, baked, whatever. But it's still sad.
Wow.
To not have a voice and just be invisible.
Mm-hmm.
So I liken that topic to life.
Okay.
And how we go through all these different struggles, but nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Got it. Wow, that's interesting, Sean. The invisible chicken. Just hearing that in regards to disposing of a male anything kind of resonates to what takes place as it relates to the African-American male. It kind of seems like the system somewhat has been designed to displace us and get rid of us based on history. It's always been somewhat of a struggle, or I'm not going to say struggle, challenge, just faced with adversity, having to prove ourselves, being labeled as a man of least importance for society. This topic here, Invisible Chicken, when you presented it to me, I sat there and I thought about it for a while, and I looked at the chicken. Now that you just shared that information with me, it kind of changes my trajectory, how I viewed the invisible chicken. But I looked at it as the invisible chicken. When you think of a chicken, you automatically think weak, scrawny, small. How I was built of Walbrook.
me too.
4'11" in the 12th grade. But back to the topic, when you just think about chicken, you don't really look at chicken in a manner of strength, anything as it relates to masculinity. Definitely not in a superhero approach. But if you look at the dynamics of the purpose of a chicken and its different functionalities as it relates to laying eggs, which we eat, protein, chicken. As an African American, we all love chicken. I don't know too many people that don't. It still serves a purpose. Whether it be invisible or visible, it still serves a purpose. And I think in life, as it relates to being labeled as such, we're all called to find that purpose. We're all called to find our own purpose. And sometimes that can be challenging. You know, I'm only going to kind of register off or speak on some of my personal experiences. And I'm not making it about me, but I can only speak on what I've experienced. Finding your purpose can be challenging.
It is.
It can really, really be challenging.
I'm 53 years old, and I dare say that I am still searching. Yeah. You know, I'm trying very hard to find that place where I'm supposed to be. But like you said, it's challenging.
Yeah, it's challenging. And it takes time. It's a process.
Do you think you found yours?
To be honest with you, Sean, I think I found my purpose in regards to a broader perspective, and I think my purpose is to serve. And serving, when you think of serving, you don't look at that as boss talk. You don't look at that as, you know, something to really, really be proud of. But at the end of the day, I think I was called to serve. But I don't think I've narrowed down the direction of my concentration to serve. Meaning, I have no problems with helping anyone. My profession, I assist individuals. But I don't think I've reached that plateau to say, okay, this is my purpose within my purpose, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It does make sense. And actually, I agree with you. No matter what role we're in, we're serving. Mm-hmm. And as a child of God, that's our job, to serve, right? Mm-hmm. So to serve, you're kind of, viewed as invisible because you're the doer. So like, think of it when you go to a restaurant and your waitress, that's the proper term, but some people still call them servers. But, you know, think about your experience with anybody in that profession. Like, I don't think I ever, well, in the past, now that I've grown a bit, you know, I've been able to kind of pivot, shift gears, and realize that the server, the waitress, or whomever is still a person with feelings and a life and stuff like that. But prior to that, people, most people just view them as a server. Bring me my food. And
the invisible chicken.
Yeah, right. The so,
yeah, I, it's great that we're speaking on this because we don't have conversations in regards to the invisible chicken.
That's everything the inner
is,
me.
Everything is more so the boss, the president, the CEO, the pastor in the pulpit, the everything with titles that comes off in a manner of someone of power. For me, I can only speak for me. That within itself is challenging because you can continue life looking for that source of validation, not really being able to acknowledge the impact you have in life on others based on simply who you are and what you've been able to provide.
You said
as
that.
As it relates to who you are. And I can speak on that because I struggled with that for a long time. You know, the invisible chicken, I keep referencing this topic because at one particular time in my life, it was impossible for me to admit that I was an invisible chicken.
Really? I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to look at, I struggled with Napoleon syndrome. Just trying to be sociably accepted in an early age, prior to social media and all these other platforms we have. Thank God I didn't have it when I was a teenager. I probably wouldn't even be here to talk about it because I had some self-centered issues going on that was embedded in me for so many years. And to look back on all of that, I was an asshole.
What?
You know, I mean, I had a great heart. I've always kind of had a great heart. I think so. I never really meant any harm to a lot of people, but I stayed in crap.
Shock, I didn't get asshole, by the way.
Thank you. I stayed in crap. But again, I just contribute a lot of that to being insecure in certain areas of my life, carrying some internal stuff. So I would do everything in my power to be a person of acceptance from the masses. I would never say that I was a follower. In certain areas, I would be a follower. But if I was following, I had a say in how I was going to be followed, so to speak. And I think the invisible chicken has always been there. I just never dealt with him. I never looked at him as a person of significance. And I think that comes with just growing up, just trying to become a little bit more mature with life and shit happening in life, things happening in life. Realizing your importance of the direction that you're going in and where you're going. The invisible chicken is me. It has always been me. But I think I wasn't able to identify him. I wasn't able to come to grips and accept that as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
An invisible chicken, when we just dissected the transformation of a chicken and the purpose between the male and the female. But then we were able to speak on what the chicken does for others.
Mm-hmm.
How it's been so supportive for others. I can agree with that. I can see similarities of my actions as it relates to serving and being there for others. I could go on and on, Sean, but
I actually don't think there's a problem with that. And, you know, for the invisible chicken, the unsung hero that's out there, mm-hmm. you know, the inward person, like I always title myself, you know, being an invisible chicken mm-hmm. serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's okay not to be seen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it's okay not to be heard. It's, mm-hmm. My grandmother used to always tell me, you know, you walk your sermon. You know, people are always looking at you, and it's how you portray yourself, how you treat others, and what you do with yourself is really what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I've admired you from afar forever.
You
know, I felt invisible myself as a youngster because, you know, my mom could only, she's a single parent. She could only afford what she could afford. Mm-hmm. So I didn't dress like the average high schooler. Mom stayed in the Goodwill, you know, and I hated it back then, but I can't stay out of them now. But you could dance. I'm sure you still can dance.
No,
this dude could dance.
Yeah. There were some good times. You know, I'm not going to take that away from myself. That was something that I prided myself in. I enjoyed it. It was therapeutic for me. I would escape as it relates to dancing. Dancing was my outlet. My mom, too, was a single mom. You know, my father was present, but he wasn't present in the home, which had an impact on my upbringing. But my dancing opened the gates of peace for me. Friendships that I still cherish to this day. And to start being able to travel abroad in Baltimore City contributed a lot of that to dancing. Being able to go in hotels at 13, like, it was just a great experience for me. And at that time, I didn't have the invisible chicken. Well, you know what, Sean, if we really, really want to break this thing down, I still was in that capacity of the invisible chicken, because I was providing a source of entertainment.
That's right.
To the people that were around. So it's always been there.
That's the whole point. You may feel like you're not contributing to anything, but you really are. In the big picture, we contribute beyond our imagination.
But see, the dancing thing led to me feeling like I was Superman. Not Superman, but more so growing to become big-headed, celebrity status, so to speak. Great impact as it relates to arrogance. And then just being competitive, you know, it was a exercise or an event to allow me to be free and express what was probably brewing inside of me. But it turned me out to be, it's put me on a path of, how can I say this? Stuck up-ish.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I had that along with some other stuff, because I don't want to sit here and act like, you know, it was just dancing. It was all a part of processing growing up. But then you went from dancing, and then some other things came into my life that kind of made me feel like I was in power. And that's when the invisible chicken
went from invisible to invincible.
Invincible. There you go. That's the word I was looking for as it relates to when I was dancing. Because that was my attitude. It was more so, particularly when I was dancing in arenas as it relates to clubs. And, you know, that's when street breakdancing and all that first originally was birthed. I am at that age where I was there on the scene.
And you were tight.
And I'm prideful of that because, you know, now it's like it's reconverting, it's coming mm-hmm. back. And these kids today, like, they really, really have expounded on their talents. But I can also say right now that I am original B-boy as it relates to dancing and with the era. But it kept me just feeling like I was invincible. That was the goal. I would sit there and take on a whole group by myself, you know. I wouldn't trade my childhood as it relates to some of my experiences for nothing in the world. I just
agree with that.
But then things led on to some other things, and that's what created the monster. Not more so of a monster. And the reason why I'm saying monster is because I'm not ashamed, but I just know who I am today versus who I was then.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like that internal person I was. You know, I was masked up majority of the time, but internally, I was masked up more so as it relates to having to fit the bill, or more so be the person I needed to be in front of everybody, so you won't really know who I was.
I think we all are guilty of that, you know? Though. I think we are.
Yeah. Just life on life terms, dealing with situations early on, being exposed to trauma early on. The invisible chicken played a role in that as well. Just being able to adapt how we were raised and what we were exposed to early on, being able to just adapt to normalcy. It was considered normalcy as it relates to trauma, gunshots, and things of that nature early on. I'm just talking about within community.
Mm-hmm.
The invisible chicken played a part in that as well, because in certain instances, we were taught not to be seen or heard,
mm-hmm.
especially if you saw something as it relates to a criminal act. You know, we know, you know, you're not to report that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that all falls under the realms of the invisible chicken.
That's a Baltimore thing, right?
Snitches
get stitches or
that. Yeah. That was birthed here.
Yeah.
That was birthed here. But now it's nationwide as it relates to, it's always been a code, but I think that phrase within itself was birthed from Baltimore.
Yeah, not a good thing. I'm not co-signing it at all, but
right. Just
pointing it out.
Right.
How even at a small age, how we're indirectly taught to be invisible.
Right.
You know, whether it's trauma. You know, things may happen in your household,
right.
You know, don't tell nobody.
Right.
Or in my instance, Mom, if you're listening to this, what goes on in my house stays in my house.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, right. You learn to compartmentalize.
Correct.
Really quick.
Correct.
Like, and change hats. Like, oh, okay, I'm going over to my grandmother's.
Mm-hmm.
I got beat down.
Mm-hmm.
For opening my mouth at mm-hmm. my grandmother's house, mm-hmm. talking about my mother's business mm-hmm. before. So it stayed in me. So, you know, shut up.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do.
I think that was a cardinal rule in our generation.
Really?
Like, you know, I think it's also a culture thing as well. You know, like what goes on in a house stays in a house. I think due to social media platforms, you know, this new generation has tweaked those rules.
Oh,
you know,
did they?
Rules because
nothing's secretive anymore.
You know, it's more so, rather, it's best to be seen and heard as opposed to not being seen and not being heard. The Invisible Chicken. The Invisible Chicken, with that topic, you know, we have the word change. You know, I guess with me being able to identify the Invisible Chicken within myself, how do I relate that to change? Where do you bring a balance with that? Because life demands at times for us to be heard.
Whether you're ready or not.
Whether you're ready or not. And then there's times in life that you need to be seen with your impact as it relates to being heard.
Whether you're ready or not.
Whether you're ready or not. Right.
But it's a struggle, and it's a struggle that I think is just not one that you and I share. I think a lot of people share the same struggle, and I think it's more of a struggle because people focus on that outer, and mm-hmm. they think they have to have it together mm-hmm. when, mm-hmm. you know, you really don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, you really just don't have to.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that. I know in our culture, particularly in black males, we are taught not to really show feelings, not to really speak on our emotions. But I am a witness, and I can speak on that today. I am a black African-American male who is currently in therapy as it relates to being able to have that platform to talk to someone. Because if you don't really, really understand and know what's going on with you, how can you be of any help to anyone else?
How can you serve anyone else?
Exactly. Exactly. And I wanted to say and speak on my personal experiences as it relates to being in therapy, because if I can do it, I feel like any man can do it. Any guy can do it. Any young youth can do it or should do it. It's a valuable resource, and it's very helpful. It'll definitely make you look at yourself in a mirror mm-hmm. and deal with yourself in that mirror, because what you see, everybody don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And a platform such as this, your podcast, I think it's imperative that a person such as myself speak about the benefits of being able to speak to someone of profession as it relates to a therapist. And the reason why I say that is because talking to a dear friend, talking to a relative, talking to your spouse, they can only give you their perspective, how they view you. But being able to take it to a stranger, quote unquote, which is a therapist, a professional, they're going to give you the truth. They're going to give you the truth about yourself. And if not so, more so the truth, but they'll be able to diagnose you to let you know what's the root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of us, particularly black African-American men, that's what we don't deal with.
You bring up really good points, Shaq. I said Shaq. Shaq, my man, too. But today, Shaq is my man.
Cool.
I don't know if you're going to cut that or not. But the benefits of therapy. You spoke about the benefits of therapy. Mm-hmm. And it's not just for men. It's a lot of women that have not checked that box yet. Mm-hmm. You know, because some of us know it all already mm-hmm. and we're too proud to admit it. I, too, mm-hmm. Have received therapy for my life, for trauma, for marital counseling. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not afraid of therapy, and I recommend it for everyone. And honestly, this platform was designed for that.
Okay.
Understanding that therapy isn't covered by most people's insurance. Mm-hmm. It is my desire that we get enough following and enough support that at one point or another, we'll be able to offer grants mm-hmm. to people and pay for their services mm-hmm. Because it's needed.
Mm-hmm. Grassroots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's needed. Mm-hmm. And there are local companies, mm-hmm. Industries that, you know, I could be on their doorstep tomorrow mm-hmm. asking them to sow a seed into mm-hmm. this ministry mm-hmm. because it's totally something that's needed. Mm-hmm. And everyone, they're not fortunate enough to have yeah. good insurance.
Yeah.
You know, I consider myself having good insurance, right. but there's still a copay. Mm-hmm. And then there's still a number of visits that mm-hmm. they'll cover. Mm-hmm. And then it's on you mm-hmm. 100%. So yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
No problem. It's funny that you spoke about insurance. It's crazy because for years, well, not now, but for a while I had insurance and never really utilized it. Until one day I had a conversation with my dad and he was like, nigga, they taking the money out your check. You need to go
right.
ahead and, you know, but, and I'm pretty sure I'm probably speaking for a lot of other males that, you know, we tend to just ignore health issues. We ignore mental health issues and it just comes with
Invisibility
and
muscle
masculinity
mm-hmm.
the image of not needing because mm. I'm strong.
Mm. High five. That's not just for men.
And it's I'm gonna say this, it's not okay. It's not cool at all. Like it's not. But the funny thing is when we look at the transitions of difference of generations and how things were so different when we were coming up as it relates to going to school in 3 and 4 inches of snow and, and still having to do those things, your mom or your father being able to correct you in a manner of whooping your ass. You know,
ain't no timeouts.
And now we're dealing with not being able to correct our kids in that manner because they'll arrest you. Kids not even going to school because it's raining. It's more so like we've dumbed down
standards,
the significance of showing that you're strong, but yet we're still living in a culture that demands you to be strong. It's just
uneven
in the cycles of life, and things have changed, which creates different products as it relates to the generation that's presently somewhat coming.
The ones
today.
That will be responsible for us in our old age.
Correct. Now I'm not sitting here badging. I think they called Generation X's. I'm not, or the millennials. I'm not badging you all. I'm not. I commend you all for your drive as it relates to entrepreneurship, being able to be a rebel with a cause and without a cause. I salute you all with that. But at the same time, there's morals and principles in all of it.
There is, but there's also a thank you
yeah.
that we need to give to them.
Exactly.
Because if it were not for them exposing some illnesses mm-hmm. that we had to deal with without a title,
mm-hmm.
and our parents
mm-hmm.
and our parents' parents
mm-hmm.
had to deal with without a title,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the word trauma, the word mental health,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of those
mm-hmm.
things, that generation
mm-hmm.
brought to us and
mm-hmm.
put in our laps and not only taught us how to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
but pulled that mirror out
mm-hmm.
that you just spoke about
mm-hmm.
and allowed time for us to reflect on
mm-hmm.
ourselves.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Yeah, correct.
I saw a post that you placed on Facebook and I just called it the B-side. You were talking about the B-side, but it moved me in so many ways. Do you remember it? Do you care to talk about it?
I do. Surprisingly, it's crazy that you just brought that up because somebody liked or commented about it today. And you know how when you see something old, you gotta look. And I had to like hit it to pull it up to see it. And I read it. And well, first off, let's back up a little bit as it relates to you. I was straight a social media guru. I enjoyed it, not taking nothing from it, but I've yielded back a little bit. You know what I mean? I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, I try to be who I am on and off the screen.
I think you do a wonderful job.
I do know a lot of people struggle with that. So I'm just trying to be true to myself. But the B-side, yes, the B-side for me, what motivated me was I just woke up. And again, I was strolling on social media and everybody's story is just magnificent. And that's good. That's great energy. But then it just dawned on me, like, we all have a B-side. We've all have a story. We've all been through some stuff. And I know individuals who are going through things and won't even look for the good in some things based on where they particularly are in their lives. And it just made me look at certain stories, certain posts, and some of the individuals that really, like, really, really promoted me to, or just pushed me to post that was, I know their story. I know their story, but everything seems great now. But then it made me look at myself, and I'm like, wow, I wonder if people look at me in a perception of everything's great. So I just thought of a way to speak about what we don't post, what we may have gotten out of as it relates to our past and trauma, things of that nature that has provided the opportunity to speak in a positive manner or show a celebration or just be grateful and thankful and, you know, showing off things that they purchased and possessed and things of that nature. But I just wanted to, in so many words, I just wanted to have people peep in to their past. And don't forget your past. We are not to stay stuck. But look at it from time to time and be grateful where you are. And for me, I just look at that as a way of having a balance, a sign of humility, because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. But I feel strongly that forgetting can create problems. You know, if you don't keep that humility up front and keeping that close to you, you can lose sight of yourself.
Exactly.
So for the B-side, it wasn't to antagonize anybody. It wasn't to downplay anyone's success or quote unquote all these bosses that we have now. It was just to say in a nice way, we all got shit, you know, and we all have had some shit, and don't forget.
That's right.
That's all it was.
So A side is you on your A game this week.
Yeah.
But don't forget that B side. And I have to tell you, you know, I was struggling about this podcast, my brand, which is the inner me, which when I stumbled across the post, I was like, man, that speaks directly to what it is that I'm trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. I thought it was spot on. And I agree 100%. Like, everybody sees the A side. Mm-hmm. Whether the A side is truly the A side or not, that's what we're going to let you see.
That's right.
But the B side is the real side.
You know what's so funny, Sean? You just spoke about brand, right? And we're talking about We talking about the differences and the gap ages between generations. You know, we shouted out what's been positive about them and, you know, with some things that they could work on. And we looked at our generations and all of that. That word brand is just so significant now. And it's so meaningful. Like, you know, it's very purposeful, right? You've been encouraged and motivated to do your podcast based on your calling and your ministry and how you want to help and you want to do serve. God's work, right? And serve. This may sound corny, but it's going to cover the whole gap as it relates to the younger generation, our generation, and the generation before us. Brand. The word brand. Followers. The word followers. Jesus started off with 12 or 13 disciples.
They talk about 12, okay. But it was really 13.
Okay, it's 13.
Mm-hmm.
Brand. Followers. He got over 13 billion followers presently right now. That's the brand of all brands.
Hello.
But it's played down now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, but now I'm speaking the younger generation's language. They understand brands. They understand followers. And right now we're sitting here based on being motivated by the word of God and understanding God. But yet, his foundation is similar to the same. It was just before social media. It's the same thing.
Always. It's been the same. Followers. Unchanging. You
know? So just looking at it for what it is, it's just, it's amazing. And again, like I said earlier on, I am a man of God. And I try my best to stand and walk in my integrity. But I'm a sinner first, you know, and knowing that adds to my humility. Knowing that helps me to always try to be open for change, to be better. I wasn't always like this, you know. I contribute a lot to it as it relates to growing old, which I'm proud of. My body is, and I feel my age at times, but it's a blessing to still be here, mm-hmm. and still be able to serve and still be able to do what I'm doing right now. And that's trying to help someone else. So you asked me earlier, I just thought about it. Maybe that is just my calling. I don't know my ending result because I'm still in my transition of doing what's right and wanting to help others. But I haven't narrowed down where I want to go in regards to that. But I'm okay with that because it's peace. You know, I don't put myself in a box or feel like I have to be a person of a big title to be who I am.
Who God called you to be.
Right. The child of God trumps any title on earth if you're preserving your purpose as it relates to being a child of God.
That's rich.
You know, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I just, you know, the branding and I'm not disputing anybody else of any other religion or your beliefs, because my thing with that is I don't do that. So long as you know that there's a power greater than man, you're fine with me. I'm not here. And I'm not a Bible thumper, but I am a believer.
Then that's what's important.
I am a believer.
That's what's important.
Yep.
So, for the person watching or listening, right, that maybe have had some knockdowns, what positivity could you give them to let them know that despite it all, being invisible or whatever it is that you call yourself, it doesn't mean that you're knocked out?
Change the way you see a thing, and the way you see a thing will change. It starts there, so to speak.
That's good.
I promise you, I cannot count how many times I've been knocked down. I cannot count how many times I've been knocked down and with no plan, knowing how to get up. But I'm here to talk about it. But I know it wasn't just through me. My faith, me understanding the importance of maintaining that relationship with my higher power. And I'm not going to lie, I'm still working at it. I'm not perfect at all. You know,
there's not one out here.
But I have to say, just understanding that is a power greater than man that you need to tap into, for one. And don't be afraid to change. And it isn't easy.
It is not easy.
I can honestly say, being a good guy, at one particular point in my life, becoming a good guy was far more harder for me than being that wrong person. That was more normal for me. But that wasn't his plan for me. And I guess I had to go through what I had to go through to realize that wasn't his plan for me. And I'm going to say this, and I have to say this. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. That's one. And sometimes it's okay to surrender to win.
I think that's powerful.
And we can become our biggest enemies, self. Mm-hmm. It starts there, you know.
That's a conflict. Yeah. It's a conflict, yeah, outer, inner, yeah. No matter how you say it. But to see change, you have to be change.
Right.
Essentially, that's what you said, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way you can grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that you can step outside of the box that you're in, whether it be changing your friends or even just changing your outlook on life, on things, on situations. There was a day where, you know, me driving, minding my business, and somebody would cut me off. That would send me into a whole unnecessary thing inside, internally, not realizing that that little bit of stress could have killed me, that, you know, that display. But, you know, there... growth.
But see, now today, situations like that, for me, I automatically, that's normal. Mother. But now I got some tools in place where I can say, that person didn't wake up this morning saying, I'm going to go out here and cut somebody off.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
You know, that you know, change the way you see a thing, the way you see a thing to change. That person didn't wake up today deliberately to say, I'm gonna cut him off.
Yeah.
You know, put that back on you. You know what I mean? Like, be accountable for how you're gonna respond. But the only way we can respond in that manner is to think and look at it differently. That's through trial and error. That's through me responding in the manner of being aggressive and getting in some shit that made it far more worse.
Unnecessary, right.
You know what I mean? So,
right, but to the different generation, you know, that could be viewed as being invisible because, you know.
That ain't supposed to happen.
Yeah,
to me.
Nah,
right.
Not me.
Not me.
What's your problem, man?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that was really a great point that you made. Wow. But it's thinking.
Yeah.
And
my dad telling me all the time, sometimes, man, you gotta think about what you're thinking. That's simple, before you respond. So you sit there and you thinking, okay, so let me think about what I'm actually thinking about, which gives you more time to really come
respond.
Out with a plan. I get a lot from my dad. I do. He's been a
That's a blessing.
He's been an anchor with a lot of rearing me the right way in his own way. I can honestly say today, me and my dad are best friends. And he's older now. And it's funny because I call him my oldest child now. You know what I mean? Like, things are transitioning.
The tables are turning,
over, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll call me and say, hey, Pops, what you doing? You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, when I definitely need somebody to go to in regards to what I'm struggling with outside of my therapist, my dad is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's still the first forefront of my go-to, particularly as it relates to understanding God and being able to have somebody to pray for me and, you know, that fellowship.
That's key. That's key. Do you think it would, if you were not blessed to have your dad, if do you think it would be another outlet? Would it be a friend? Would it be someone else that you would?
I can honestly say, Sean, the company you keep plays a big part too. And I said this the other day, you know, I don't have a lot of friends. I just know
a lot of people.
But that comes in time. And that was a post from Big Burks, one of Jay-Z's partners.
Don't stop me.
But at the same time, it just makes sense and it's relevant to me where I'm at today in my life. My circle, you know, I can honestly say my group of friends and relatives as it relates to men that's close to me, we're all kind of wired the same as it relates to understanding him. We're not, you know, but we do know that we definitely have that in common,
mm-hmm.
and we keep that somewhat grounded.
And iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I think it's always key to have that outlet.
Yeah.
To be able to either speak to your parents or the oldest person in your family, or just a dear friend that.
Yeah. I got like 10 of my childhood friends. I mean, childhood friends, like we, and all of us are 50, in our 50s. We're on this group chat. But when I tell you, the dynamics of us is still there. You know what I mean? Like, and we've all been through tons of trial and error. But when you just spoke about iron sharpens iron, we always speak on that,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. And, you know, it's just great to still kind of had that mold, you know what I mean? So shout out to my guys.
I know who they are. Hey.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really good. It's really good. And it's important. Yeah, it's important.
It is.
So we got so carried away into the conversation. I enjoyed you. I really did enjoy you.
And thank you for
you talk about having a small circle of friends. I too have a small circle of friends, but I carry myself in a way that I serve whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you do too, because you haven't seen me in years.
Right.
And I called you and you came to my rescue.
Thank you, Sean.
And I appreciate you.
No problem.
And I love you for it.
And I love you back.
I mean that from my heart.
Thank you, Sean.
I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
The Invisible Chicken, Hidden Parts, the podcast.
Yep.